Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Go. No.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid?
I do.
The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally deciding on the movie you were going to take home with you? Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your house, but there was something truly special about making that trip as a child, picking a movie out by hand, and spending $100 on fat kid snacks at the counter. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me, as always, original Kickstarter backers of the Tony Perkis weight loss system, Sean Pryor and AJ Vence. How the heck are you?
I wanted to see if it will work for me. I'm actually at level 7 of the Perkis system. So
technically, I'm still on the Atkins diet, and I just need to see, I just need anything to work.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, so, just whatever you can get, man.
Yeah. So I'm all in on this. But speaking of counter, snacks at the video rental store.
Yes. Yes.
Did you guys ever do anything like that? Did you get those because they upsell them? They're like $8 a box.
Yeah,
you know.
I didn't because of that reason. They cost more at the movie store than they do it at a movie theater.
And that says a lot.
Yeah. And I have to pop my own popcorn. What the fuck? Yeah.
At Walmart, they have a giant bin of movies, one, for $5. And two, they have a giant bin of those specifically candies for $1.
I want to say I probably never, ever bought candy from a movie rental store.
I don't think so either.
Why would you buy popcorn especially?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
When you could just have your own popcorn.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, you know what we forgot? We've got these movies and it's Friday night. We forgot the popcorn.
Oh, forgot the popcorn.
You go out of your way to save that money, though.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
We forgot the bubble tape. Well, good thing they're selling it here.
Oh, the poppable nerds. Dang it.
It's so much better at the video rental store.
All right. So let's, you know what? Screw you guys. It's review time. We're starting off with reviews like we always do. This one is from Thunzy.
Completely gives up on
it. Called Goonies Never Say Die. Fantastic title.
Yeah.
There's nothing quite like childhood nostalgia, and these guys do a great job bringing it out. I laughed out loud to the Goonies episode more than I ever have listening to a podcast.
Wow.
Pretty freaking sweet. It's so satisfying to hear other people quote literally all the same parts that I do. The mix of nostalgia and sex appeal with this podcast is off the charts. Here we go again. The chemistry between these guys is amazing. Anyone else perplexed that Samwise made it all the way up to Mount Doom without using his inhaler?
Wow. That's a great question.
You get it?
Yeah, I do.
Because you know, Samwise was Mikey in Goonies. And,
yeah.
He grew up.
Yeah, I mean he used it just flippantly whenever he thought he needed it in the Goonies, and like on his way up to a mountaintop would have been the perfect time to have it.
Really? So, it's very true.
He probably, you know how like the elves gave all of them like little gifts here and there? They probably like gave him like an elvish inhaler of some kind. Take 3 drops of this onto the tongue and you'll have the breath of the angels or something.
This is dragon's albuterol.
Yeah.
I like that way better than it.
10 times better than mine.
Way better. That's amazing.
Dragons. Okay.
thanks, Thunzy. We appreciate the
thanks,
review.
Buddy.
Thank
we also
you,
got
man.
If you can't do it on Apple Podcasts, where we really hope you will do it, you can do it on Facebook. Our man Andrew Gregory wrote, "I have been binging this podcast since I found it last week. It sounds like me and my brothers, if we were to sit around and discuss our favorite movies from our trips to the video store. Also, the term pre-funeral home is one of the funniest things I've ever heard and is now in my vocabulary forever." If you are new to the podcast, we tend to say it every week.
Just about.
You need, it's like, you know, in 5 years when this is the biggest podcast in the world, they'll be like, Hey, oh, you don't know what pre-funeral home is? Yeah. You clearly haven't listened to the beginning of Confused Breakfast. So go back.
You aren't diehard.
Go back and listen to the Price is Right episode.
I'm glad we sound like a couple of brothers or some friends hanging around watching some movies and stuff, because that's the goal, my dude.
That is the goal.
And that's the biggest compliment you could probably give us, so thank you.
Yeah, really we appreciate that. So you can leave us a review. That's how you can support us. You can also call and leave us a voicemail, which is a very funny way to show your support and help Sean make his albuterol payments. He just took a hit, dude.
You guys want to hit?
Yeah, I kind of do. So call us at 319-804-9596. We got a voicemail for you today. Check this one out.
Hey, boys. This is Cameron J. How's it going? Recently discovered you guys a couple weeks ago on a road trip to go visit my brother from Cincinnati to Richmond, Virginia.
Perfect.
And on the weekends, I like to travel for professional wrestling, like to get hit by chairs and thrown across the ring,
fun stuff.
So you guys make the drives from town to town a lot of fun. I have to say, The Goonies is probably my favorite episode that you guys have done so far. Shout out to, I can't remember who said it, but you name dropped Ma Baker with Maylene and the Sons of Disaster, which happens to be my favorite band of all time.
Nice.
I'm 31, so I'm like the perfect age range for that band. So for those metalcore kids out there, hell yeah.
If you know who
they are. If you don't, look them up. They're awesome. I have one suggestion, though, for a mini bite. I want to know if you guys were into professional wrestling. The early 90s was kind of goofy, cartoony, and then the mid to late 90s was the perfect Attitude Era. I want to know if you guys were into the Attitude Era, who your favorite wrestlers were, what you were thinking, even if you didn't watch wrestling, what you thought about people that did watch wrestling, because it was huge. It was everywhere. Even if you didn't watch wrestling, it was everywhere. Anyways, you guys rule. Keep up the good work. I'm looking forward. I finally caught up to Uncle Buck, so I just finished that. So I'm ready to listen to each episode as they come out. All right, boys. Kill it.
Cameron J there.
Thanks a bunch, dude.
I think he brings up a good point, and I don't want to touch on it yet, but I feel like that is mini bite material.
Absolutely.
To talk about wrestling.
I am 100% full bore into that.
And maybe it sounds like Cameron J may be like a super famous wrestler, apparently. So like maybe we can sort of, you know, maybe he can plug us into the social pipeline of professional wrestlers.
Let's get it going, man. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds great. Great to me. And by the way, the only reason I know we're going to do a mini bite about it, we've got to, but one of the major reasons I was so into wrestling, like WWF when it was called that, and WWE, was because of like video games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Super Nintendo, which we'll probably be doing a mini bite on that pretty soon.
Yeah. So, look at that, baby.
There you go.
Yeah. DDP. I'll just say it right now. DDP.
Just go ahead and say it.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Cool.
Diamond Dallas Page.
Diamond Dallas.
I think we're adding that to the mini bite list. So thanks, Cameron. And Cameron's actually a Patreon member as well. If you guys don't know what Patreon is, it's a way to support us. These podcasts are free. They will always be free. You get to enjoy them every week at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also very tough for us. I'm not going to lie to you. I felt very overwhelmed last week. Had a lot going on and like, you know, editing, putting this together, making all the TikTok vids. So it's really cool. Patreon's a way for you to give back to us and put a little bit into the time we're putting in. We've set a goal of if we can hit a certain point there on Patreon, we're going to be able to maybe hire somebody to help us out with some of this stuff
so we can
put out more content.
We don't want Mike overwhelmed because somebody loses out on some earphones and it's whatever.
Well, he's never going to let that go.
I know. So you can go to patreon.com/confusedbreakfast to check that out and see if you want to be a member. We have our top tier members. We announce at every show. It is a growing list, and they're happy, and they love it. We got Dane, Joel, Tony B, Jordan, Nick Marula, Alicia, Camden Griffith. Camden Griffith.
Lots of T's.
Francisco Rivera, Cameron J.
Hey.
Kierlana, Big Andy, Bud Larson, Anita Richard, Travis Hunziker, Brian Hernandez, Nick Fulkerson, Cale James, Senior Frog, Mr. and Mrs. Roommate, Greg Jackson, Jason Davis, and Daniel Skaggs.
Wow.
Yeah. You're the best.
We made that soundbite just for you guys.
Just for you guys.
Just wait, one more time.
Yep.
No.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Should we do it one more time?
Okay, one more time. Yeah,
great. That's
so it
awesome.
Feels good. So if you would like to be known as the best around, I mean, we're going to play that soundbite for you. So check out the Patreon. And I think it's time we get in. What do you say?
Yeah.
Do that.
All right, boys. So it's time to introduce today's movie. On this episode, we're going to discuss one of the classic summer camp movies of the mid-90s, a movie that warned us about losing weight quickly, psycho fitness nuts, and taught kids that perseverance and smarts will get you the girl and win the race against the outdoor kids. Mm-hmm. We're, of course, talking about 1995's Heavyweights.
Yeah.
Fight. But before we get started with the full movie breakdown, we'd like to tell you that you can feel free to pause this right now. Let's say you haven't seen Heavyweights in a while. Let's say you want to watch it and then come back. This is available for free streaming on Disney Plus if you have a membership. Otherwise, you just gotta buy it. You know what I mean?
So like $4-5 on Amazon. That's how I got it. So
So that's the way to watch it, or you can just continue on this journey with us. So on the first segment, we always like to get you the pertinent, important background info about the movie to set the scene, set the stage. Sean, what do you got for us?
Okay, so I'm gonna be honest. There's not much on this.
No.
So I'm gonna start off by saying, since this is my segment and my portion of the show, and I can do whatever the hell I want, really, realistically, if you know, I could talk I could talk about literally anything. last week I want to amend a couple weeks ago I want to amend something that I said.
Yes,
Karen Allen is well alive and not dead at all. I did get her confused with Margot Kidder. She is dead. She's fucking buried in the ground.
Oh, man.
She's also a saint. I will say that, though. But okay. Karen Allen is very alive and still being the best mom that you could ever be. Okay. She's the best.
Can I also say we had another mistake that was pointed out to us, too? AJ called Cool Hand Luke a Western.
I'm sorry.
During the episode, I'm like, oh.
Why didn't you stop us?
Yeah, just because I don't want to. I mean,
I
guess.
Just call me stupid and let's go on and move on. We don't have to take up time in the next episode.
I'm going
to
be like, well, actually, it's not technically a Western, but I am that guy in the show, I guess.
Yep. You are. So next time, save us the TikTok embarrassment, okay?
Yeah, please.
Proceed with your segment.
Christ.
Heavyweights. Produced by Roger Birnbaum, Joe Roth, and Judd Apatow. Written by Judd Apatow and Stephen Brill. Music by J.A.C. Redford. Pretentious. Casting by Linda Gordon and Judy Taylor. Editing by Carol Timothy O'Meara. Cinematography by Victor Hammer. Directed by Stephen Brill. Here's the cast. Tom McGowan, Aaron Schwartz, Ben Stiller, Jerry Stiller, Ann Mira, David Goldman, Joseph Wayne Miller, Cody Berger. Fitting. Alan Covert, Tim Blake Nelson, amazing actor, Sean Weiss, Leah Lale, Tom Hodges, Kenan Thompson, and Paul Feig. So, the film was shot over the course of 2 months in North Carolina at Camp Pinnacle and Camp Tonawanda, which is not a nice thing to say about Wanda. Filming started on March 28th, 1994, and completed on May 25th that same year. That's it.
Well, that's okay. I figured you wouldn't have some things. So some of the things I normally talk about, I moved to here.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about a few of the actors. So Aaron Schwartz is the main character. He's Jerry, right? I was interested. I'm like, oh, he's kind of a cool actor. He's pretty. He did Mighty Ducks, Adventures of Pete and Pete, and Heavyweights.
Yeah.
And then disappeared from the face of the earth. He didn't act at all again until 2010.
Wow.
And now he's kind of a ripped looking dude. He's like a heartthrob.
I saw. I mean, there was literally the only thing I could history of this movie that I could find was like, where are they now?
Dude, isn't it amazing how it's always like 6 days ago? The article always came out just recently. Like,
damn it! Why don't you guys give us what we want? I did actually have one more tidbit on it. Judd Apatow wanted Stiller for the role for sure, and told Stiller that he could basically create this character himself and do a lot of improv. So, the character of Tony Perkis, Ben Stiller pretty much created on his own.
Isn't that super weird though? Because Ben Stiller was basically an unknown for the most part. He wasn't like the Ben Stiller you know today.
Yeah.
It was, from what I could tell, it was one of his first like well known movies.
It was like Reality Bites.
Reality Bites
this?
Was right before it.
Okay.
And
okay.
then he went nuts. He took off from there after this role. But that's crazy that he gave him that ability to just say do what you want.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a theory on what Ben Stiller was creating. He was playing the long haul on this.
I do too.
Okay, cool. We're gonna piece this theory together, man.
There's a lot of prolific people now from this cast, all from like Kenan Thompson, who now is a big
huge star on SNL
and like obviously went through the ringer with like Nickelodeon and all that. literally all that.
But was that Freudian?
Well, could have been. You never know. But you have even stuff like Paul Feig, who plays Tim in this. Paul Feig is one of the most like the major directors and I believe writers for The Office.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant comedian. Apparently, one of the nicest guys on the set.
Directed,
walking around there.
Ghostbusters, the remake of Ghostbusters. Yeah. I think he's married to one of them people.
Yeah.
In there, but SNL too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you mentioned that.
Yeah. Not about him.
Yeah. He's like a huge they're like a Hollywood's go to for like that kind of movie.
Yeah. Obviously, Judd Apatow, who's just like
pretty big deal.
I mean, doesn't need any explanation at this point for all the movies he's done and like, directed, produced, everything. But Stephen Brill. Do you know who Stephen Brill is, the director?
Mm-mm. I know.
You didn't? Okay. So I was like, Stephen Brill, he looks familiar. And so if you look at Stephen Brill, not only has he directed a plethora of Adam Sandler movies, but you might know him best as Glenn's friend. In The Wedding Singer.
No
for real?
Shit.
For real. And he's the guy who says, oh man, I heard about what happened to you at your wedding. That was so cold. You must have felt like shit. He's like, no, actually it felt really good. You know, my parents died when they were 10. You want to talk about that?
Why would we want to talk about that?
I don't know. That's the guy. So he's in a lot of Adam Sandler movies. He directed a lot of them, wrote a lot of them. And he's apparently like just a comedic almost genius.
Nice. All
so
right.
It's really, really funny to see like that, like catch it. Like Little Nicky, he did Mighty Ducks. He did Mighty Ducks 2, a bunch of other stuff, man. It's crazy.
Damn.
Like his back catalog, man, is stacked. It's awesome.
Go Steve Brill.
Yeah.
Well, and then of course, you know, you got Goldberg, you got Sean Weiss. I read an interesting thing about that. He was originally not interested in being in this movie. They wanted him. They're like, who's the most famous fat kid right now? They're like, oh, it's Goldberg. Because he had been in D1 and D2. But he changed his mind when he found out that he could not act, or if he did not act in Heavyweights, he would not be allowed to be in D3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Director's like, no, no, no. You want to stay in D3, bro? You be in Heavyweights. He said, all right, whatever.
I guess. Well, and to be that on demand as an actor, I mean, that's
pretty good stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I heard about that too, and I was like, it was what a like strong arm thing to do to a kid. You know what I mean? Like, just like, hey, you have to do this or you don't get to do that.
But in reality, like, he had to be in D3. I mean, it's Goldberg.
Goldberg.
I was going to save these for when we get into it, but I just have two more things.
You might as well, man.
Yeah.
Originally, well, I'll do this one first. Stiller said that Disney obviously were marketing geniuses and didn't really know how to market the film because of its dark character, Tony Perkis, because it gets pretty dark with this guy. Like, I mean, we'll get into it, but they cage him up. Originally the Seymour Butts joke was Peter Fitz.
Peter Fitz.
When Stiller asks who's Peter Fitz, Josh replies, anyone's Peter Fitz if you push hard enough.
And Disney said, I don't think we can say that.
I don't think you can either. That's fucking incredible.
How have I never heard that before? You know, because everyone knows the Seymour Butts one, did Bart Simpson ever use that? Yeah. I highly doubt it.
Dude, and that was one of the things, like, even as a kid watching it, I remember thinking, oh my god, that one, like, it looks horribly dubbed, like it, like they really had to like redo the, like they didn't match it up good
at all.
And that I read that was that's fucking hilarious.
Well,
like, I'm using that now.
That's my new name from now on. So as we move along in this, if you've been with us before, you know we like to give the audience a little insight into what we thought about the movie the first time we saw it. So this is kind of an AJ/Patreon selection. So AJ, you get to go first on this one.
Yes. I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen this movie all the way through a lot.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Good.
Totally weird. But.
And I know, very big, big departure from where I've been the past. A departure is a great song. And but I remember identifying so hard with this like opening scene and everything. Getting out of school, going home, you think like your plans for the summer are just, I've got plans. I'm having a chill. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I remember it so much, although I didn't get chased by dogs or chug lemonade like that. But I love this movie. I remember loving it as a kid. I remember thinking it was almost too close to home for me in some regards. But at the same time, I love this movie and We didn't own it, but I'm pretty sure it definitely became ours from the video rental store.
Yeah.
Because we didn't take it back.
It's understood. Understandable.
Sorry about that, Mom and Dad. but yeah, we definitely had it in some capacity. This movie was wonderful. I am going to give this movie an 8.
This was a definite VHS, VHS thing that my uncle had when I went over to my uncle's house and like watch my parents play ping pong and drink and smoke and do adult things. Me and my brother would watch whatever they had on VHS down in the basement, and so it was like Richie Rich, The Goonies, or Heavyweights, and so it would just be like those in rotation just because it was our favorites. And we will be doing Richie Rich.
Oh yeah,
don't you worry.
Oh yeah.
I mean, when I watched that, it was like a movie that I watched with my brother, and it was really entertaining and really fun. I loved The Blob like when I was a kid.
God, yeah.
I'd have to say probably I'm going to give it an 8 as well.
8 on the dot. I love it. I realized that I loved summer camp movies for some reason. I just started thinking about it. Heavyweights, Camp Nowhere. Do you remember that one? I mean, like almost for me, almost a little better than Heavyweights in a weird way. Ernest Goes to Camp is one of my favorites. Yep. So there's something about being that age. I'm like 13 when this movie comes out.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, cool, get away and do some cool stuff. And I was a little chubby too, so it's all right. Like fat camp. Yeah.
Yeah.
I this movie is great. Definitely a VHS rental. We rented this a lot from the old Blockbuster, the Doi TV. So I'm going above you guys. You're both 8s. I was an 8.5 back then.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Darn.
This might be the first time I've outrated you guys on a pre.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. We'll find out, won't we?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Before we get into the film review, AJ always does some research for us. We got to set the tone here.
Yes.
We got to understand what the critics and everybody thought about this movie when it came out.
Yes.
So, AJ, what do you got, man?
Where do we always start, guys? 1, 2, 3. The tomato meter on Rotten Tomatoes, guys.
Time out. I envision when this does go live and we do shows live that the whole crowd yells that back at you.
Yeah,
I'm really hoping that
I'm
happens.
I'm really hoping.
God knows only one of us do it every week.
They're never going to catch on if you guys just don't support me, okay?
I'm sorry.
29% is what this is on the tomato meter.
Mm. Okay, okay.
That's a big old splat.
That's one of the lowest in recent memories.
Yeah.
It's rotten.
Rotten on those tomato meters. 77% though was the audience ratings.
Pretty decent.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make a prediction. That means IMDb is like 6.7.
You're close. What about you?
6.2.
Oh, 6.6.
There's a formula there. If you look at where audience and critics are, you can usually figure out where IMDb is.
I agree. 6.6, yeah.
6.66, dude.
6.6. Oh, no. And then 42 for Metascore. So there's a couple on here. You know, Metascore, they're pretty brutal. I'll give you the best, which was from the AV Club. The lovable losers get one over the pretty people, making incremental improvements to their lives without fundamentally changing what makes them unique. A hallmark of Apatow films to come, that's a decent fit for a family movie.
Okay.
Yeah. That's literally the best thing a critic had to say.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And I'm going to give you the worst one. This is from TV Guide magazine. So, you know, TV talking about movies.
Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah. People subscribe to that. this is a 25 out of 100. TV Guide magazine said, there seems to be a message here about being true to yourself, but it's hard to find it under the blubber jokes. Yikes. Let's get some more, like maybe some positivity in our lives here.
Please.
Okay? Hardest I've laughed in a long time. Crobot 2, August 10th of 1999. I like that somebody from 1999, that's what I'm reading right now.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to listen to our podcast.
Also, Crobot, I think he's a big fan of Mystery Science Theaters.
There you go. Must be.
Okay.
This is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen, and fat people will not be offended. I have friends that have really been to fat camp, in quotes, and they were laughing harder than I was. And I really don't see what's so gross about it. This is a great film. Go out and rent it. 9.5 out of 10.
Damn.
Give it 10 out of 10.
All right.
Jeez. I feel like it's like the backhanded thing. It's like, somebody saying, I'm not racist. I work with black people. Yeah.
It's just kind of the same. I have fat friends.
Yeah, I've got fat friends.
A lot of my friends are gay.
Yeah, I thought it was great. It's hilarious. I was laughing the whole time. It's like, yeah, there's still a problem there, guy. I don't know. Like,
you're laughing at the fat kids.
Yeah, you're still laughing at them.
I like that.
Yeah.
Good point.
I'm just saying. This is 3 out of 10. I'm just going to keep on going down us, okay?
Promise you'll end with the worst one.
I will.
Okay.
This is 3 out of 10. Wasted potential in 2019. I've never been failed so badly by Ben Stiller. He even had some recognizable faces in comedy to back him up. Such a boring, senseless, heartless, unfunny, and self-indulgent movie with a talented but utterly wasted cast. The premise had potential for madcap parody and satire, but somehow it got lost. A self-indulgent, feel-good, parentheses, but also feel-guilty, in parentheses, movie. Don't waste your time.
Just in case you're here, you're thinking about pressing play, but you need to read a review. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't.
Don't.
No. All right, so here's the most unhelpful 1 out of 10 star.
Wait, what does that mean? What does unhelpful mean? Like,
it means people
hated
people
the review?
People disagreed with this.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so after this, I'll give you the most helpful. All right, this is 1 out of 10. Avoid this obnoxious and sadistic kitty movie. Kitty is in quotations. This is Rollo Tomaso from 2000. If you want your kid to develop low self-esteem, bullying tendencies, obnoxious behavior, and a foul mouth, take him to see this repugnant excuse for a movie. It is unbelievable that Eisner and his deputies somehow allowed this disgusting piece of garbage to go out under the Disney brand. It is stupid, obvious, and degrading. Avoid.
So are they just mad that they didn't like slip in like penis scenes and you know, things that Disney usually does, you know, when you pause in The Lion King and there's a dick and stuff like that. Are they mad that that's not in there?
I think so.
Okay, cool.
I think they're upset about
that. Walt Disney was a fucking saint.
I also watch enough movies to call out the CEO of Disney.
Yeah. Yeah. I got him on speed dial.
Check out my name drop in my movie review.
These are my favorites in my flip phone.
I'm glad everybody hated that. Good job. Good job, IMDb.
Congrats. Yeah. Good job, guys. All right. Well, if 6 out of 20 was the most unhelpful, then the most helpful is 9 out of 28. And this is a 1 star out of 10. Idiotic. Lee Eisenberg. He sounds familiar.
Again.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, he actually does. He sounds like a producer for The Office or something like that.
Well, wasn't Eisenberg the Disney, the name drop Disney?
No, that was Eisenhower, yeah.
Isengard, yep.
Isengard.
Eisenstein.
You know, from Lord of the Rings. Samwell. 1 star, idiotic. This is the title. Although we can all agree that Ben Stiller is one of the greatest stars of our time, I didn't get a good impression from him early on due to this movie and flirting with disaster. Heavyweights is worthless. Another story of cool kids taking on an evil adult, parentheses. Well, what else could it be, seeing as how it came from Disney, in parentheses. To add insult to injury, this movie seems to be promoting obesity. They stack the whole thing with flatulence when there's nothing else to do and play everything so that you know exactly what's going to happen. Absolutely dreadful. There's no need to watch something as stupid as this when there are so many good movies out there. That was the most helpful negative review.
Oh, okay, you're right. I am gonna take my finger off the play button and put something else in.
I'm gonna go back and watch Mandalorian on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Now that I read that. So.
Good God.
New Loki dropped. Okay, I don't know.
Like, what part of those helps people though? Like, wouldn't just it being overall negative be like, does that helps me? Because the last one didn't, and it was also negative. It's like, what about it helps you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it an agreeance thing? Like, you're just going, yeah, that person said everything I wanted to say. Yeah.
I was like, I did hate it, though, so what do you, like, why are you disagreeing with my, we overall agree.
Those were the people that loved it.
No, like, the one before this, it wasn't as helpful as this one. I just don't get, like.
I know.
Hey, can we just all agree to bring back the message boards on IMDb?
Oh, yeah, I think we need to. We need to have that back in our lives to spend time doing that.
So I think we've talked about this. I have never once gone to IMDb to read reviews before I watched a movie.
Right.
But back in the day, the first place I went when a movie was done was to the message boards.
Right.
Because there's a lot of history and stuff that people have on there, and then they're just gone now.
Stupid.
I know.
Stupid people.
Well, that's it,
making our jobs fucking harder.
All right, last stop before we dive full into this movie. Quick shout out to our sponsor, our official podcast sponsor, Cedar Ridge Distillery. As this podcast has been starting to catch on and get more popular, of course, we've had all the people start reaching out and saying, oh, we want to sponsor. You guys are cool. You talk to a lot of cool people.
Burger King? No. McDonald's? No.
Ballsniffers.com? No.
Absolutely not.
No. But we knew we wanted some help, and we knew we wanted to partner with somebody, and we knew we wanted it to be local and something that we actually cared about and actually used and loved. So partnering up with the Cedar Ridge Distillery was a no-brainer for us. They're one of the fastest growing whiskey companies in America. They were named Whiskey Distillery of the Year in 2017.
Whoa.
And it's made right in our backyard, literally. So we do truly consume these products. We do support them. Some of the favorites are the Quintessential American Single Malt, the whiskey collaboration with Slipknot.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And of course, the flagship bourbon, which I drank a lot of on the 4th of July, you guys.
Nice.
That's why I'm a little slow in slurring my words a little bit, but it was fantastic. It was probably the best 4th of July ever with some nice whiskey in my glass there. But if you're in Iowa and around the Midwest, you can likely find some at your favorite local establishments, grocery stores, distributors, liquor stores. If you want to give it a shot, but you're elsewhere in the country, you can order online at cedarridgewhiskey.com. We really hope you make it a point to grab some. I mean, if you got somebody in your life who loves whiskey, if you do, just grab some. Because you're hearing us say legitimately, it is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's one, I call myself a little bit of a whiskey connoisseur, and it's honest to God, one of my favorites. Not just saying
that. It's up there, man.
It really is. And they've got enough versatility there to pick something you really like. And we're just really proud that they're sponsoring this podcast and supporting us. So leave us a message. Tell us what you think. We want to know what you think about it. And obviously enjoy responsibly,
mm-hmm.
like I did yesterday. I didn't drive a vehicle.
Nice. Perfect.
Yeah, I just walked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So CedarRidgeWhiskey.com. Go check it out.
CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
That's going to get old really quick. Well, boys, what do you say we put away the snacks and soda pop, pull the carburetor out of the go-kart, slay the blob, and step on the scale, step off the scale while we observe the silence of the chi. Here we go. Everybody wants to live how they want to live. And everybody wants to love how they want to love. Everybody wants to be closer to free. All right, so when school ends for the summer, Jerry Garner's parents send him to Camp Hope, a weight loss camp for boys. Initially reluctant, Gary, it's hard to say Gary because it's spelled with a G.
I know. It's like you don't.
It's spelled Jerry with a G. Yeah. So I'm like Gary.
Gary
meets enthusiastic camp counselor Pat and befriends the other campers who have smuggled in enough junk food for the entire summer. So interestingly enough, in this intro, I wanted to bring this up during Dazed and Confused, and I forgot.
Okay.
This is the same intro as Dazed and Confused, where apparently in some alternate universe, whenever you left school, like you just threw all your books and papers all over the place and just left. They did that in Dazed and Confused. They did that in this movie.
That's
true. Did you ever do that?
No. Yeah. I mean, so it's the last day.
Last day.
So, I mean, like, that's your confetti, but like, you're going to have to pay for that coming next year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I never understood like it's like the celebration, like I don't need these papers anymore, Mom. And you just kind of toss them around, but like I always had like a thing called like a conscience or whatever where I was like, "Oh man, fucking Rod the janitor is going to have to clean that up. I'm going to feel bad if he's going to pick up my shit. He sees my name on
it." Exactly. And I don't know about you guys, but the janitors in my school weren't that, you know, spry and young and healthy or anything like that. They were literally like people who needed jobs from like programs that they hired them from, you know, like
we're not talking Breakfast Club here.
No. Yeah, I'm pretty sure one of them had like a stake to just poke papers with. And it's like that you probably can't have that in school anymore. I would say, you know, like I wouldn't do that to them. They're going to break their back.
It's a rude thing to do, guys.
Very rude.
Yeah.
So fucking 90s. Closer to Free.
I kind of like that song.
I mean, I feel like I feel like Encino Man, every Pauly Shore movie actually has this same song.
Here's the thing about the 90s, though. I don't think it's the same song. It just all sounds like the same song. Because that was the 90s. That was music. It evokes an emotion. Like every American Pie movie.
Yes.
Like, it sounds like the same song in every movie, but they're not.
What's the formula? Is it like kind of like a ska guitar, like kind of a John Frusciante-ish kind of guitar? Yeah.
It's got to be upbeat.
And then there's like a one out of place instrument, like a harmonica in there, you know? It's just like, well, it doesn't sound like it should be there, but it sounds okay with this, you know?
Oh, but it's kind of the R.E.M. Oasis vibe
exactly,
going on that's happening behind.
Kind of a monotone chorus a little bit.
It is a nice little opening montage. It is. Yeah. Did you notice that even though, you know, when Jerry has to throw the baseball over the fence, even as bad as that was, still better than Smalls.
Yeah, way better. Right.
Still better than Smalls.
He had it, man.
He had the form. He just didn't have the right oomph behind it, you know?
It was pretty awesome.
It was like all of the like him heading back home and shit like that. It's just like all of them are like gags that like, it's just like, ha ha, because he's fat. It's just like, God damn it.
It really is. It really is.
You're really bad. You just feel like you got Mr. Chow from fucking Leslie Chow from The Hangover just laughing behind you when you're watching this, just like at everything. You're just like, I don't know if I should laugh about this.
Also, parents waiting for you on the couch when you get home. Never a good sign. Never a good sign.
Not good.
And then Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah. Islanders, huh? Team of the future, I say. By the way, I have to mention his buddy's shirt. It just says "Mean People Suck," and I really want that shirt.
Just starting a movement like humanize the goons. Like "Mean People Suck."
It's like something straight out of a Wham video, man. It's fucking badass.
I love it.
but you're right. Parents sitting there. This is where he says, like I've got plans this summer. I was gonna chill. Just like, okay.
Well, and they were like, showing him the video and everything like that, and they like want him to get healthy and stuff, and it's just like
they're treating it
as like it's like a life threatening disease at his age and stuff, which I guess it is, obesity and everything like that, but like at his age it's just like, maybe you're being a little too Nazi about this. Just like, maybe tell him to go outside a little bit more and that'll do it. You don't have to go to a fat camp, you know, right now.
His dad, Jeffrey Tambor, sells it very well, too, because even that moment where he's on the couch and he's got his arm around him, and Jeffrey Tambor's like, don't look at him. Just look at the screen. Right. He's going to start looking at you. Don't stare straight ahead.
Right ahead.
He's going to figure out this is fat camp. It's a fat camp.
Yeah. Just keep watching. He's like, God, he holds him tight, man.
He's a perfect dad in that.
He is. I think about him in like Arrested Development. What a far cry, like the serious dad to like the overly obnoxious like grandfather almost now. I don't know, it's great. But what do you think about, would this video make you guys want to go to that camp?
I think so. In the
90s. How do you guys feel about that?
Probably. Yeah. We'll talk about it on our Patreon episode and everything like that. But I was like, I don't know. At that age, probably. But the age that I went, probably not.
Dude, you show me go-karts, and you show me the Blob, I'm going.
That's fair.
I'm in.
Yeah.
And I know Pat looks good on camera and everything, but if once I met him in person, I'd be like, okay. Yeah.
You're right.
I like Pat.
This is the coolest guy I've maybe ever met. At this point,
got a hairdo like
life.
He's got a hairdo like Zord, from Fifth Element. Fifth Element. You know Gary or what's it, Gary Oldman's character. He's got like that plate on one side of his head, and then it's just like hair going on the other side. Yeah. It looks like he's wearing that.
Yeah, it's an external piece.
I hope he changed it.
Yeah,
I loved Kenan Thompson in this movie, especially that opening scene when he meets him on the airplane.
Yeah,
going to fat camp.
Yeah.
How'd you know?
No, he goes,
is that your dad? No. Why do you think it's my dad? Because he's fat too.
He's like, what are you doing here? I'm going to fat camp. He's like, all right, yeah, I am going to fat. He's like, I knew it. And that is your dad, isn't it? No, it's not.
He's really good in that movie. It's just a great introduction to the rest of the kids. He's the first one. He makes his little friend.
Yeah.
Then he gets off the airport. It seems weird to me knowing that his parents basically just said, I mean, it's a different time in 1995, dropped him off at the airport, and then he got on a plane and just had to know where he was going.
Yeah.
He had to somehow find this little section of fat kids to then a bus pulls up
yeah.
at the same
yeah.
time. It's just weird to think that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, like, I have a tough time thinking about, like, I'm going to go, like, fly somewhere by myself now when I'm 30 years old. It's like
being a 13-year-old.
13-year-old, yeah. I mean, that's fucking crazy, man.
First time I flew was by myself.
Yeah?
Not a big deal.
Well, do you remember, it's just so weird to even think back that prior to 9/11, you could go into the airport
yeah.
and walk all the way up to the gate with someone and be like, have a safe trip,
yep. Yep.
and then just leave.
Yeah,
it's so weird to think back to that. You can't do that anymore.
Such a different time. Yeah, and you didn't have to like worry about bringing like anything with you.
No.
And just bring it on the plane. You're
oh,
good.
I forgot my pocket knives in my pocket. They're like, that's fine. Everybody's got pocket knives.
Yeah. You got a huge Bowie knife that you got from the Crocodile Dundee set.
Totally cool, man.
Get it on there.
Sounds good.
Oh, you brought your didgeridoo back from Australia?
You're going to have to leave that.
You're going to have to leave that because news break, nobody likes didgeridoos. No,
that can't fit in the overhead storage compartment. can I just mention that when they do get onto the bus and it just shows them driving past all the fast food joints and they're like,
it's pretty awesome.
Come on, Pat. Like, just come on. Let's stop for some food. He's like, all right, fine. He just like, cuts right back on. And he's just like, oh. Just teasing him the whole way there. That's so fucking
It's
funny.
A great shot, too. It's like, yeah. it's, I mean, they got, it had to have gotten a place like where it's like near an airport even, too. So
yeah, yeah.
Like, because there's like McDonald's, Wendy's,
Taco
like
Bell,
Hardee's. Yeah, everything
like
is right
eight
there.
Of them right there in that shot. Some scout figured that out. Yeah. They have the perfect spot.
Yeah, oh, man. That guy got great. His paycheck.
Dude, AJ, this question's for you. I hadn't seen this movie in maybe 10 years leading up to this, and I remembered immediately got this vibe when they're pulling into the camp and they see that one kid.
Sims? Yeah.
Sims, yes. and he's holding the stick, and all of a sudden the music gets ominous.
Yes.
And then it goes back to closer to free or whatever. But like, why? What was the point of that? Because there was no significance at all for him to sit there and be like, don't come to camp.
Yeah, I don't know.
That this whole movie could have gone a total different way.
Yeah, I know.
At that moment, he could have been like, no, you don't understand. This place is haunted.
That's Jason's brother.
Yeah, but what? Why was that there? It threw me for a loop upon this rewatch. I'm like, wait, why? Wait, hold on. Is this going to come back around? What?
Yeah.
Why did he do that?
Why was he there so early?
It's just like, yeah, what?
Did he leave?
How did he get there so soon? But you're right. Like, why did they have to have this spooky moment just in the middle of nowhere? Quite literally in the middle of nowhere at this camp. It's like he did. I think I want to have the remake of. I want to have the remake of somebody redoes a trailer as a scary movie
for Heavyweights.
And like you mix in like shots of Tony Perkis and I was one of you and like shit like that. That'd be a terrifying camp to go to.
All right,
to.
Hey,
I'm
listen,
gonna cut that up.
Confused Breakfast Family. Somebody's gotta make that. Come on.
Somebody
do it
cut
for
that
us.
Up for me, baby.
Yeah, I think it's like it seems like a direct or like a producer's note or something like that. Just be like, well, because Tony Perkis is later on, we want to prepare kids of like some of the tone of what it's going to be later on in the film. So we need like one interjection of just like ominous.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful. Don't get too comfortable.
Yeah. Exactly. Carry. Yeah. I mean, because camp, you know, you're with your new friends and everything and everyone's here for a reason, but you are without your parents. So just so you know.
That's right.
It's definitely a cool thing that they do without knowing that they're doing it, but they take all these fat kids that have been made fun of their entire lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put them in a group where now they are making fun of the skinny counselor.
Yeah, they have the power now. And they're making fun of themselves, too, which is kind
exactly.
of
exactly. But yeah. It's a really cool moment to say, like, to show you that power in numbers sort of mm-hmm. a thing, right? And the skinny counselor, what's his name?
Tim.
Tim.
Tim's like, uh-huh, yeah, all right, bring it on. Okay, I'll bring it on.
What, did you have a baby? They high-five, like, fuck yeah, dude.
Got him.
It's pretty awesome. It's like an empowering thing, kind of, right, for all the kids to be like, cool, we're among us. We can make fun of the skinny guy now.
I love it when he's doing his dance, and then the nurse walks by, and he just, like, stops, and he points up, see, that's a bald eagle right there.
He's good in this movie, dude.
Paul Feig, man, I'm telling you, he's just such an he's so wonderful as that secondary character movie, man. I love him so much.
I almost like was gonna when this rewatch, I'm like, oh, I don't think I'm gonna like this guy because it's just like, yeah, I'm the wacky one. You know, I make everything fun. You know,
yeah, yeah.
He started in Crop Top 2021.
Yeah, I know.
20 years before or something like that. You know,
oh, yeah. Just
like, I don't know about this guy.
I don't know about this guy.
He's got that body.
How perfect though is the blob scene?
It's so good.
It's a work of art.
It's I mean, slow-mo blob is like how you should shoot that when no matter what. And having the da-na-na-na, blam 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 blam. It's perfect.
It's all slow motion.
And how bad has anyone ever done the blob before?
I've never had an opportunity.
I would give anything to try one. It looks so awesome.
It's definitely one of those things, like, it keeps progressing. like a first kid who goes on, it's not, like, too big. You know, he's not that big of a kid. And then I think it's Pat goes next. And then
he
after,
sends Tim. I think Tim goes flying.
That's
on
right.
One of them, right.
Tim just goes flying. And then whoever's after Pat is just, like, a big, big dude. And he just goes down onto him and launches Pat another 15 feet in the air. And it just, like, keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's so fucking funny, man. They just keep the air that they're catching.
It's great. I mean, right before that, too, I have to mention that when Julie walks in and Pat's like all being like the cool guy to all the kids and everything. And as soon as she comes in, he fucking comes his pants. He just cannot. He's like, oh, God. Just like, you know, just, I think the bathroom's over there or the infirmary is right over there. And I'm just like, God damn it, man. I was like that. I'm so glad I'm not anymore.
Well, says who, dude?
All right. Press that button.
Got him. Hey, guys, can I just say something? Chipmunks, download!
Woo! Yeah, dude.
It's pretty amazing.
One of my favorite scenes. Yeah. I love when they're putting everything in like the post holes and just all the chests and everything like that. Oh. But the salami grosses me the fuck out. And it's all
these salamis off my back.
It's all the chocolate was like melted on that one.
On the British kid.
And the dude licks it. I'm just like, gah.
They even said, I didn't rewind, but when the chocolate was on him, they even like, come on, get some off him. Like, they're like, come lick some off.
They all tackle him.
He takes a swipe off of his stomach. This isn't sanitary. It's delicious, though. He's like, hey, everybody, get a taste of Nicholas.
Get a taste of Nicholas. Oh, my God.
That was very sneaky of you, Jerry.
Did you guys recognize Cody Berger? The actor's name is Cody Berger, but his name in the movie is Cody.
Okay.
Did you recognize? Do you even know which one I'm talking about?
I know which one you're talking about, but I don't recognize
him. Saw him right away. I go, yes, it's very obscure. You know how I like the obscure.
Oh yeah,
it's Rocky from Christmas Vacation. It's the it's one of Cousin Eddie's kids.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
it's literally Rocky from Christmas Vacation.
Huh.
Jeez.
His name's Cody Berger, and he did not do much. He did Christmas Vacation, a couple things, and then Heavyweights, and then that was about
did
it.
Did he have many lines in this? I don't even.
He did not say. He didn't say anything in Christmas Vacation. Yeah. I don't know if he said much in this.
He said he had a couple of lines in this. One in particular is like, "We don't want to. We want to have fun." And when he's like up on the fucking pole,
okay,
like on the mountain. So that was him. But that was
Cody wants to have fun. All right. So moving along, the first night at Camp Hope brings the revelation that the original owners, the Bushkins, have declared bankrupt. And the calf has been bought by fitness entrepreneur Tony Perkis Jr., who plans to transform the camp's weight loss program into a best-selling infomercial. Tony replaces the camp's beloved activities, including go-karts and the blob, with a punishing exercise regimen and removes their hidden stashes of food. Pat and the other counselors are replaced by strict new counselors. The campers endure a painful softball game against Camp MVP. Josh disappears after a run-in with Tony, and a dance is arranged with an all-girls camp.
So,
lots here he comes. Back here.
Ben Stiller.
Here he comes.
This is where the movie lifts off, especially if you're an adult now, like rewatching this. Like, obviously, he was great when we watched it as a kid and everything like that, but now I'm just like, look at him go, dude.
Looking back on
him. He's so good in this.
Oh, God.
I love when he plays characters like this, you know? Like, the outlandish, ridiculous fucking character. It might be one of my favorite characters he's ever done.
It's perhaps one of his best.
Yeah.
100%. He's... if it, so much to the point, like, you think back to it, you don't think of it as Ben Stiller. You think of it as Tony Perkis. At least I do. You know, I'm like, that's Tony Perkis. That's not Ben Stiller, you know?
For some reason, too, like, younger Ben Stiller had, like, darker eyes for some reason.
Yeah.
Do you guys get that vibe?
Uh-huh.
Because, like, now when he's older and stuff, his, like, eyes have, like, kind of brightened up a little bit. But I feel like back then, especially in, like, Reality Bites, and I feel like his... The gap in his tooth was like larger back
really?
Then too.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Like he seems like he looks more ominous and evil back in these days. But it works for this character.
He's got some sick flow in this movie though. Yeah. Like his hair is awesome.
He's feeling the chi.
Observe the silence of the chi. No. Okay. So here's one way. I always try to go back on these movies and think about it in a different way, right? Where this movie sets you up in a Disney way to just go, oh, this is the bad guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But like Tony Perkis is a bit psycho and he gets worse as the movie goes on. But in reality, okay, hear me out.
Okay.
The parents paid money to this camp so that their kids could lose weight.
Right.
Yep.
So Tony Perkis is actually delivering on that.
Right.
He's like, guys, we're going to lose weight. We're going to work out. We're going to eat healthier. Like, I mean, he does it in a difficult way, but at the same time, he's not a bad guy.
No.
He's literally doing what he's supposed to be doing. And then in typical Disney fashion, he's painted as a bad guy just because he wants them to lose weight.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, it's like sort of weird in that way.
No, I think you're right. He is doing it for himself because he's like trying
Correct.
To make videos and shit or whatever with what's his name from all Adam Sandler movies.
It's
Alan Colbert.
Kenny the cameraman.
He's so good. I was so glad to see him.
I looked it up. That was really his first role. He did a few things, but he did that, and then the following year was Happy Gilmore. He was the caddy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And then he just went
two
nuts
silent
from there.
Roles.
Yeah, two silent much. Roles.
Dude.
But yeah, no, I think you're right. Like his way is the fast track way, like, or that, or they're going to lose more weight than they would have. And, you know, but like taking away all the fun and everything like that, like that's what sucks about it.
Yep.
But still, you're right. Like the mission would have been accomplished.
If you just listened to Tony, everything would have gone right.
Especially when the parents come visit and he's like, he doesn't look like he lost a lot of weight at all.
Yeah, he's just like, he hasn't lost an ounce. It's just like,
exactly. I would be pissed if I was the parent that paid for that.
You're right. I mean, what's his name who comes to their house? What's the actor's name?
Yeah, Tim Blake Nelson.
Tim Blake Nelson. That guy came in and conned you, man.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he's actually a good guy on our perspective of the kids who's trying to get these kids to that.
Kid. Yeah.
To the parents, he's a fucking con man.
Con man.
Very true.
That's the thing. Like, just like from Hocus Pocus, very first episode we ever did, I want a perspective from the parents.
Yes.
I want to see what it's like on their side. And they're just like at home enjoying themselves, probably doing it more.
Having some whiskey.
Probably having a drink. And like, and they're like, thank God, you know, Jerry, you know, it's good. Jerry's off and he's going to be doing his thing. And you know what? I think that was a good investment. That was a solid investment. It's going to be a good for him, a good experience. And it's like they get to family day. It's like, he looks the fucking same.
Yep.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah, well, like Jerry's dad's been out playing golf a little bit more this summer, and then his mom is probably like doing some more jazzercise if she wanted to. And then when they come home together, they're probably in their sex chair, I would imagine. You know, like I'm sure they're enjoying their private time again.
Right.
You know, and then. You know, the mission isn't accomplished when they see their son.
The real villains here are the Bushkins.
That's right.
The Bushkins have done nothing
but
provide a fun place, a fun, safe space for fat kids not lose weight.
That's right. How dare they?
And speaking of Jerry Stiller, please, more. I wanted more from him in that entire movie.
And what, he only had show?
He only had that one scene, and I wanted so much more from Jerry Stiller.
Yes.
So much more. He's so good.
One more thing. Don't let anybody else sign your checks.
That's his real wife too, right?
Yeah, Mira, Kate Mira,
and Mira.
Sorry,
Jerry Stiller and Ann Mira. They play the Bushkins. They are actually Ben Stiller's parents.
Yeah. Right,
that's amazing.
It's so cool. One of my favorite Perkis moments is when he's first introduced and he's doing his whole speech and he brings in all his goons like Lars and everybody.
Yeah.
He's going down the line with his hands out. He's like trying to get high fives from somebody and only the one gives him
one
the
on
highs.
The last
like,
one.
All right.
I feel like that whoever did high five him was not supposed to do that.
So good, dude.
You know what I mean? I'm like, why did the one guy? Who directed that one guy would high-five
him? That's the shit that I want to find out. Fucking IMDb forums. Yeah. God damn it.
Dude, I'm also really looking forward to interacting with children for the first time.
Did you even catch what he goes? He goes, I see the future president of the United States of America to the British kid. Yeah, but then he goes, I see famous rap artists. And both Keenan and whoever Goldberg's characters, they just turn and look at each other. Like, is he talking to you or me? Kind of a weird moment. But yeah. I mean, it's 90s. Okay. Yeah, yeah,
so yeah. See the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Like, what?
Say what?
Like, stop, dude. Like, ugh. He's from England.
So when they get to nighttime or whatever, and Lars is taking over the what's their cabin?
The chipmunk
cabin. And I love when he's telling people like go to bed and everything, and telling Pat to get the fuck out of there. Yeah. And he's like, I make a very alarming sound when I sleep at night. Don't worry, I'm fine.
Do not be alarmed. I am fine.
The you know, you always talk about the line you quote with your brothers.
Yeah.
And I am Lars.
Lars? What kind of name is Lars?
Lars. Lars is good too.
He's
man.
Really good in that. He's got the face that you feel like he did more and that you saw him in something. But
I feel like he's like a goon in Die Hard, but he, I guess
don't
not.
Think he is. Yeah. I don't think he did much at all. And I am Lars.
He's like, we're going to play a game so we can learn everybody's names, learn each other's names. He's like, we already know each other's names. Just making fun of him.
Like, it's even pretty ominous when he's like, where are you from? He's like, far away. It even kind of zooms in on his face for a second.
One theory that I have about Tony Perkis is that maybe he tried to do this for adults and failed, and then like saw Jerry Seinfeld or Jerry Stiller's
the Bushkins
kind of in struggle, and he's like, well, he just gets that idea to maybe do it for kids or something, like, because he thought he'd think, so like, maybe it'll be easier.
Okay,
what do you guys think about that? Like,
that's
he tried first to do like the what's his name, Tony, not Tony Robbins, but with the
Tony,
let's go, Tony, girls.
Oh, Richard Simmons.
Yes, thank you.
Ah, okay.
He tried to do that for adults and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
I could buy into that.
Yeah.
He's obviously like the child of a just rich father, like
Tony Perkis Sr.
Yep. Lighting fixture king of Cincinnati, wherever it is. I can't remember where it's from, but the lighting fixture king.
They donated these lights.
All the lights you see around camp have been donated by him. And it's like beautiful.
He's so good. I hate AJ. It's like so perfect how good his accent is.
He's like, but all those like chandeliers fall from the ceiling. Like, it's obnoxious lighting.
A dumb light. Yeah. It does brighten the room up though. It really brights it up.
You know what? At that point, I really started to try to like look for lights, and I realized they don't really play on the joke much anymore.
They could have kept going.
They could have really kept going. That's true. Really wish they would have.
That's true.
Wow.
One of my favorite Paul Feig lines is like when they're at the baseball game or whatever. Well, he's getting people going, and like no one's doing good or nothing, and he's like, keep your eyes on the bat, swing harder. I have no idea what I'm talking about. No idea what
he's kind of walking away. Did you feel like that was, we'll eventually do this movie, but did you feel like that Wet Hot American Summer played on that a little bit?
Maybe.
I don't know. We just think this is kind of trite. Is that how everybody feels? I mean,
you just kind of want to go home or?
Yeah. No, cool. It's no big deal, guys. So they're leaving. We're going to go home.
They were totally cool with it. They'll just do something else.
It had a moment where I felt like Wet Hot American Summer took from that.
Totally.
That, you know, these kids suck. We're bringing in the really good kids to play a game that nobody wants to play.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Well, I love how they, we'll get to it when we do that movie, but they set it up as like the big baseball scene or like from Sandlot or this movie somehow, maybe, and they're just like, no, we're not giving you it. No. It's like, no, we're just gonna go home.
Yeah. Hey, how about, you know, maybe, you know, you guys always take it, you know, whip our butts pretty good. I bet you take it easy on us this year. No, I don't know what you mean. MVP campers are trained to perform at the highest levels of all times. It's like, we wouldn't want to confuse them, huh? It's like, oh, God.
Screw camp MVP. And like, okay, so let's focus on that fucking counselor from camp MVP.
Yeah.
He's the one driving them by in the speedboat
so
that they can like shout things at him and graffiti.
What I didn't notice that until the second time.
Pile of trash.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Absolute human garbage.
I think he has history with Pat. I think like maybe he went to camp with him or like went to high school with him or something like that. And it's just, you know, maybe Pat like took a girl from him one time because Pat's got the moves. Obviously, we'll see later with Julie.
Clearly got the moves there.
Yeah,
I know.
I love one of my favorite scenes when Stiller's in their cabin or whatever, and he finds all their shit, all their like stash and everything like that. Are we there?
Yeah.
Okay. He finds all their stash and everything like that, and he takes the Pez dispenser and empties it like it's a gun. I'm like, that was so fucking good.
It's pretty good.
He like pats him down really quick and pulls it out of his sock and then throws it back to him. And he's just like, oh man.
He plays off the like, I was once a fat kid. Yeah. So I know, totally. I know all of your secrets. I know exactly where you're planning on hiding food right now.
He's like slashing the beds with this like combat knife. And then he's like tapping up the wood bed rod or whatever. Yeah. He just knows so well.
One of the things I definitely never noticed as a kid was at the dance. Did you see what Ben Stiller was wearing? He had a buttoned up collared shirt with a tie, but the sleeves were rolled up like all the way to his shoulders. I don't know how that's possible.
I don't know.
I can barely roll my sleeves up to my elbow, but he's got them all the way up.
Yeah.
All the way up so he can show off the guns.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
It's pretty solid. And I know. I was like, there's no way. How is he doing
it's
that?
Not possible.
if we're talking about the dance, Tim is, again, my favorite in this whole part because he's just walking around. God, this bites. He's just like, he's so upset about everything that's happening. He's like taking it so personally. He just keeps interjecting himself. God, this really bites.
Doesn't he feel like Mike from Dazed and Confused at the party?
Yes, yeah, yeah. I thought the same thing.
He does.
Monkey motherfucker.
Neil Dominant monkey motherfucker. What?
He felt that
okay, Mike. Okay. Okay, Tim. Okay.
At least Lars is playing some fucking hits, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's like there's a bunch of disco hits. I'm like, that's actually, I want to listen to that shit when I go to a dance, you know? I mean, that's me being old as fuck. But
yeah.
So question, though, was he playing that music because it wasn't cool to the guys and the girls, the campers?
I think
because they're trying to sabotage this. Yeah. He's trying to make this the worst dance of all time, right?
Yeah.
Right. In theory. Right. So is maybe. That why they're playing that music? Because none of these kids would like that music.
Well, I think he definitely thinks that they don't know what it is. Or it's like their parents' music for sure. You know, so that's probably it.
He fucking loves it.
Yeah,
he's got some moves too.
I'm into it.
Oh yeah, those hips don't lie.
I love how the room is separated from girls and boys like a fucking wall of death.
Yeah,
it's like
front to back, side to side.
They are just scared shitless of those girls, man.
And then again, Tim. He saves the day, man.
Tim saves the day, man.
Tim saves the day. And he jumps in. He's just, huh? Like, just going at it.
And what are you doing, Tim? Saving the dance. That's weird, Tim. That's what Pat says.
That's weird, Tim. Tim's blown a microchip.
That scene, though, like, as a kid, I remember being like, oh, this is awesome. Like, look, the kids are all getting together. But it just felt really, it felt like really forced in
a lot
this
of it
one.
Felt
like,
forced.
It felt like, you know, I compared it to, I guess this is Stranger Things 2 or 3, the ice ball. Like, the final scene of the final episode is, I feel like, is absolute perfection.
Yeah.
And I compared that to like this dance scene. I went, oh my God, this is terrible.
Or it's like kind of like in Wedding Singer when Robbie's doing the, or like having people, everyone grab everyone's butts and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like kind of making people dance. It felt like that a little bit too.
Yeah. Okay.
I love also when he does break out the whole dance up and everything like that. He's like, thank you, ladies.
Thank you, ladies.
This hasn't been easy.
Thank you for coming, sacrificing your night. Put away the fruit platters. Flies will be out soon before the insects are out.
God.
The insects.
All right, so moving along, Josh returns to Camp Hope, and Jerry and his friends sneak into Tony's office in search of their confiscated snacks and learn that Tony has intercepted all the campers' letters home. They discover a secret food stash used by most of the camp, leading them to gain weight, and Tony forces the boys on a 20-mile hike, preparing to endanger their lives for the sake of fitness. The boys trick Tony into falling into a pit and imprison him at camp in a makeshift cell. There's just so much. Every scene's just loaded.
It is.
Yeah. This is Josh coming back.
Yes.
Getting kicked out. By the way, when he does get kicked out, it's like so serious. This is after the Seymour Butts or Peter Fitz. Peter Fitz. Who's Peter Fitz? anybody's Peter Fitz. It's like, push our numbers.
This doesn't get old.
It doesn't get old, man. But like, oh, I didn't realize I was messing with a man. He's like, and like, he's just laughing. They're all having a good time. And I love how it freeze frames. Whites out. Like, like
it
out.
Dissolves into his bed all folded up. I'm like, damn.
Like, that's dark.
It's dark, dude.
As a kid, that was pretty terrifying, especially because he comes back in and you think he's had a lobotomy.
And now he's back.
Terrifying.
It's jarring to see like freeze frame. Yeah, it's like freeze frame and then dissolves into his bed. You're just like, wait, the movie stopped for this. Yeah. You're just like, damn. Fuck.
Jerry.
Josh was bad. Now Josh could.
It's a pretty good performance.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. Like, I love it. He like comes back around and he's just like, my dad. Turns out my dad's a lawyer and Perkins folded like the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl.
Nice little 90s reference
there. Definitely.
I noticed that, again, to go with my point earlier about how Tony really isn't like a bad guy, this is when he starts to lose his mind, right? Some things start to happen here where he makes the reference. They're going on the hike. He says that Icarus pushes the ball up the hill until it's melted by the heat of the sun. And like, I go, that's not, I don't think that's right. So, of course, I'm like, I got to find out what it was. Yeah. The story that Tony tells the boys is actually a confused mix of the myths of Icarus
and Sisyphus.
Yeah,
that's right.
Sisyphus was forced to push a boulder up the hill for all of eternity. When he'd reached the top, the boulder would come back down. But Icarus was the one that flew too close to the sun.
Yeah.
But so not only did he's like starting to lose his shit, right? He confuses that. But then, you know, I'm a huge fitness buff. I mean, like, you see this.
Oh, definitely.
I know people haven't seen me before, but I am just like a workout freak.
I mean, our next sponsor is going to be Planet Fitness.
It's right. Going to have to be. I'm like chiseled out of granite.
Yeah.
So I know these things, right? And during the hike, Tony encourages swatting motion because it's a good isometric exercise.
Yeah.
Isometric exercise involves a stationary position or applying force against a fixed object. So he doesn't even know his terms at this point. He's losing his shit.
He doesn't know anything. Like, and when he like him coming off of the baseball field and he's like got his bike and he's like lifting his bike and he's like, I don't really think this is a good thing. We're not teaching them about fitness. We're teaching them about winning. We're teaching them about life. And he's just like all over the place. And then when he leaves his cabin, he goes for that run. Hot dogging it down there. He grabs a log out of nowhere and he's just like, come here, you devil log.
That had to be complete improv, some of that stuff. It had to be.
Yeah. And
you devil log.
Come here, you devil log.
And when he's doing like lunges, he's like sticking out his tongue. Yeah.
Do you notice how, speaking of that scene, how him getting ready to leave the cabin took longer than his actual run did?
Yeah, totally.
They were in there for 2 minutes.
Let's get it, T. I'm dogging it, Pat. I'm dogging it. While they're in there, speaking of just filling in flatulence whenever they can.
Yep.
That I feel like when he does get back to the cabin and the boys have been kind of like rummaging through and finding stuff and him walking through the cabin, smelling the fart.
he's pushing the air out of the way. You notice that?
He's like, what?
Pushing the air. He sort of is.
He's kind of separating.
He's cutting his way through it.
He's losing it, dude.
He is, dude. He's totally losing it.
Here comes the best shot of the film, though, like we talk about with like The Breakfast Club.
Yep.
Of like Vernon just getting up in time for them to be scattered, you know? So once the kids all get out the window, it's that one shot of the window like kind of in the foreground.
Yeah.
And then the kids hiding behind the trees in the background. It's perfect.
And his head pops out.
Yes, it is perfect. I don't know how many times it took him to do that. It had to have been a lot.
Oh, God.
But it's
exhausting.
Worth it, man.
I just don't feel like people appreciate some of those things.
Absolutely.
And how hard that is to just make that perfect.
Yeah, you gotta. It's either gotta be like a system where someone's off camera, like looking at the kids as well, and then giving Stiller his cue, or some sort of, you know, Stiller just having an instinct of like kind of giving it time in his head or something like that. But either way, those things aren't easy to do, and they pull it off really, really well.
So that's your shot of the movie, right there.
Mine. Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
I think my shot of the movie is get on the scale, get off the scale, turn off the cameras.
Turn off the cameras.
That is the best timing, comedic timing of like of all the movie. I love that part so much.
Turn off the camera. Turn off the camera. It's just so
okay,
good.
Turn on the camera.
Get on the scale. Get off the scale.
Oh. He just moves the what like the big block one way and just like get off the scale.
No, then the last one he gets on and he goes bop. He goes get off the scale.
Get off the scale.
Unbelievable. I think I'm taking something from the movie, I'm taking the scale.
Taking the scale.
I want the scale, yeah. Oh, I want that scale.
I mean, I don't know where I'm going to put it, but the blob, dude. Oh, man, I need that thing right now.
I think this is a tough call, but I think I just want... No, I don't want the captain's wings. I want Jerry's helmet.
Okay.
Nice. Jerry's helmet's dope, but it's either that or the captain's wings for me.
Well, if you got the helmet, you'd have to buy like a go-kart or something and drive around Swisher, Iowa. It'd be kind of fun.
I'll just get the go-kart.
Take the helmet.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, I'll give back the scale and I'll take the wings.
Okay.
You take the helmet.
Okay, fair enough. I just wanted the wings.
He's keeping his. He's already got a good one.
Bartering with shit we don't have.
to stick with the, you know, we are trying to always be critical about these movies too, is I just cringed again when there's like another I Love Candy montage.
Oh,
it's the fucking 90s, and there was no other song that was allowed to be used for any montage in any kids' movie.
No. Nope.
Like, this is it.
This is it.
It's funny, though. Like, I mean, yeah. We had in Blank Check, right?
And I'd rather see I Love Candy in this. It makes more sense than Blank Check.
I was going to say, at least it's fitting, you know?
It's like any movie having the song, I'm walking on sunshine. I'm like, turn this fucker off right now. Like, I think American Psycho begins with it, and it's just like, oh, God damn it, even though it fits with that movie. But I like when they're trying to get food and like one of their brothers comes out or something like that and like puts it in the tree, and then like Pat comes out and does it too. And then they're chasing the cow down to get it. It was a nice trailer moment that they actually put in the film.
Yeah. I had a tough time as a kid trying to figure that out, like what the system was for sneaking in food. If they were, because it was the camp kid turned counselor.
Who actually ratted him out earlier on.
Right, correct. He was, I was a chipmunk when I was a camper here.
Yeah.
And he shows him the treasure. Oh, whose treasure trove does this belong to? A deli meat? And so... But he's the one doing it, and I didn't get it, because that's why it threw me off, because I was like, well, he ratted him out beforehand. Was he like...
I think he can just be bought, dude.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he's just for hire, man.
Yeah.
Who's paying me the most money this
year?
That's
correct.
He's a true goon.
I just kept thinking to myself, like, oh, maybe he's like stashing that, and they figured out where he hides his, and they were stealing it, but then he's like taking cash. So then I kind of discover, no, he's planting it for them. In this stump,
yeah,
that's what he's doing. He's stashing it for them.
But then how's he getting paid for that? And how? What's the system of like who paid for what?
Right. He's like he like looks in. He pulls cash out, and then he stuffs in the big boy order. You know what I mean?
It's like prison shit.
Yeah, dude. It is like legit to the tune of I Love Candy.
Fuck.
Never again, dude. There are certain songs where I could go my entire life without hearing a song. That's one of them.
It's one.
It's weird to think back then as like a bigger kid. I mean, I'm bigger now still, but weird thinking back then, like, yeah, I wouldn't want to go on that hike. But like looking at it now, I'm like, that'd be pretty fun.
Kind of a cool hike.
That'd be. Mm-hmm. I like hiking. That'd be pretty fun.
20 miles? Not bad.
That ain't bad.
That ain't bad.
20 miles is a pretty brutal hike, guys.
That's actually a really long hike.
You think about that, especially for kids who have never been on something like that. They don't know how this goes. Those guys, their feet is one big blister. Like collectively together, it's just one blister on 2 feet, and they that's like real. They're gonna be out of it. They're gonna be dehydrated. They're gonna be like delirious.
Yeah, the movie's gonna turn into Ravenous here soon. Yeah. And Tony Perkins,
Lord of the Fly shit.
Yeah, they're gonna pick which one to eat first. And it's gonna become a democracy at that point.
Yeah, it's going to get real intense. Father Sky, Mother Nature, and your dear old Uncle Tony. I hate that so much. I hate it so much. But he does get, they get to the top of the mountain, right? We're still in it, right? Feel the chi. express the monkey. Shit like that, like part the wild horse's mane.
it's stuff that you're like, he had to make just
he's,
make this
he's
up.
Just yeah. Making shit up.
Was that actually on a piece of paper someone wrote
no
that?
Way. Fucking can't the only be. Person who would have written that is Judd Apatow or Paul Feig.
Yeah, okay. It. There you go. So maybe it was written.
Maybe it was. This is his where his demon side comes out.
Oh yeah, he's lost it.
He's like, oh, Cody wants to have fun. Okay, let's have a little fun. And he goes and jumps out onto that like branch thing over the mountain. And then the funniest thing, Cody, you want to come out and join me? Sam, oh yeah, I'm on my way. And then they start arguing, and you hear this. That's my.
What did you say?
What was that? It's just like the sound bite. There is no recollection or like notice of him doing flips. Yeah. It's just a sound bite.
I'm guessing it was written in the script, and then they figured that there's no way we can do this.
How the fuck can we do
this? Let's just add a sound effect. What was that?
I want that sound bite on our sound bite.
Hey, I gotta go to the bathroom.
That's pretty good.
Oh, my gosh. It's like one of the best.
All right. So moving along to scene four with Pat, Julie, and Tim on their side, the campers take back control of Camp Hope. After pigging out for a night, Pat rallies the campers to take responsibility for themselves and start losing weight. The boys' parents arrive for visiting day and are interrupted by Tony, who escaped from his cell. Tony is apprehended and taken away as his own father arrives. The boys ask for the camp to stay open, and Pat agrees to assume responsibility for Camp Hope.
Nice. So
could have probably been the ending of the movie, huh?
Oh yeah, you would think.
I always think it is.
You always do.
When I'm watching a movie, I always think, okay, cool, that's the end. I was like, and then I was like, oh shit, the Apache relay.
So. Oh, can't forget about that.
There's that scene where Pat is giving them that speech or whatever. It seems to me that he got laid by Julie.
Think
Am
so?
I wrong to think that? Because I'm
during the party?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I think so. Because He's like going to get up, and she's like, no, stay
here.
And stay. And then he gives that like resounding speech, and he's got like all this confidence, and you know, he's just like taking charge of everything. That's what happens when you get laid.
Yeah, and that's the Disney version. Like a peck on the cheek or someone holding their hand is that is sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's all you need to know.
And that cut between Julie saying no, stay here, and that the rallying cry is their edit of there was sex in between there.
Time to wake up, children.
Yep. I like that.
Yeah. And then, you know, he definitely had the confidence in his walk when they were power walking later on after that.
You bet.
Dude was walking dick first, McConaughey style, bro.
How good is Tony Perkis Sr., though, played by Ben Stiller? Yeah. So good. As good as he is as Tony Perkis Jr., I almost wanted more Tony Perkis Sr. of whatever character that was.
I wanted more of that. He's carrying around like his calendar book and stuff like that.
Yep.
He's so fucking good.
I did forget that was Ben Stiller.
Yeah. Yep,
and then when it came through, I'm like, oh, yeah, Ben Stiller. I wonder if I knew that as a kid. I probably didn't.
There's no idea.
Not a chance.
I had no idea. No.
I think it's funny, too. I think like another Perkis's like character traits, I think, to me, is that like his dad probably made fun of him for being fat when he was a kid.
Oh, 100%.
And so made him do all this. And his dad's a businessman, so he tried to like form his own business around the thing that he got tortured with his whole life and everything. So
that's a great point.
That's my Freud breakdown of
Freudian.
Freudian.
No, I completely subscribe to that. That's got to be it. Like, I didn't. My father didn't hug me when I was a kid or something. I didn't turn out like a freak or something. Whatever he says, I can't remember. But he's like, oh, I'd love to stay in chat, but I got a thing.
He doesn't have a thing at all. He just got
to
go.
He just wants to leave. I don't want to be here. Don't call your lawyers. And
we're going to refund your money.
Yeah, exactly.
But we don't want to go home.
I don't want to go home. 14 years. Is it 14 years?
No, it's like years? It's like 23 years or something
it's like
that.
It's like an obnoxious amount that he's been there.
Pat has been there, yeah.
As the movie goes by, and like, well, so now like is our exit of Perkis. I'm realizing, I don't know if this is what your thing is for him, Mike, but I'm realizing as I see him be in more and more scenes and be crazier and crazier, that he's just doing his best Jim Carrey impression.
For this character,
to be honest. Like, I don't know. I was seeing an interview with Ben Stiller, and he wrote or did something with the cable guy
He did. He was involved. I think he was in The Cable Guy, even a small role.
I'm not entirely sure, but I'm just saying, like, if this was Jim Carrey, it would be like such a more of an adult
version. Could you imagine?
Even Ben Stiller could do this. I'm not saying that I'd rather Jim Carrey do it.
Yeah.
But I also think, like, when some reviewers are saying, like, there's some missed potential for me, I do kind of agree with that, because this character is so outlandish, and I think they could have done a lot more fun jokes with it, like even light fixture jokes like I think they could have just like went full bore with this character, and as an adult I want to see that,
of course,
but as you know, as it being a kid's Disney movie, like obviously it's just fine to me too. But yeah.
Well, did you see at one point Jerry had a Fire Marshal Bill t-shirt on?
Uh-oh. No.
Jim Carrey's character from
Oh my god, yes.
Living Color?
Yeah, Living Color. Yeah. Yeah. Jerry actually had a pretty cool wardrobe. He had Islander shirt on. Yeah. He had the Fire Marshal Bill shirt on.
Yep.
No, so I've got a fan theory about Tony Perkis. Okay. Ready? So my fan theory is Tony Perkis
Are we doing the sound bit? Soundbite? Because we haven't done it in a while.
Do we have a soundbite?
Yeah, the Mike's fan Mike's theory. Fan
oh,
theory.
I can add. Oh, I don't have it in my little board. You know what I mean? So I'll add it. Mike's fan theories. Don't
you worry about a thing. I'm Sean.
All right, so Tony Perkis is White Goodman.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm going to back this now. If you don't know who White Goodman is, he is the guy from Dodgeball, right?
Right, yes. Right.
So here's what happened. Tony is shamed by his antics in 1995 and his weight loss schemes, and they've all gone awry. He has a nervous breakdown and becomes super fat, just like he was as a kid. He goes right back to using food as the thing he was so anti against. Now he's got this comfort, right?
Right.
Goes off the rails, super fat. In 1999, Tony Perkis Sr. dies and leaves much of the fortune to Tony Jr. Mm. Tony sees this as a chance to get back into shape, get his life back. He takes this money, puts it into a new enterprise. Tony loses the weight. But he realizes the name is completely tarnished. He's ruined his name, so he's got to move, right? So he moves. He changes it to something which is clearly made up. White Goodman is clearly like a person that doesn't know what names
delusional.
Are.
Like,
Goodman, yeah. So he changes that. He moves to California, opens up the gyms, right? He also grows a mustache so that people will not recognize him. And then under this new alter ego and tons of money, he opens up Glovo Gym.
Yes.
And you can even look. They have the same cheesy promotional video type stuff,
yep.
But even the logo, the Globo Gym logo and the Perkis System logo are like identical.
The same thing.
So that's my fan theory.
Brilliant.
I think it's like ironclad.
Ironclad.
But I almost feel that Ben Stiller, like when he was, because he created Dodgeball, right? Didn't Ben Stiller have
He was a writer.
You almost think he had to have taken that character.
Absolutely.
And said, this is such a good character.
I think it even might have been like a spiritual sequel. And I mean, what I'm talking about is probably the adult version of it.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go. That's exactly
what we got out of it.
God, I love it, man.
That's fucking great.
Yeah.
I know we kind of skipped over his imprisonment and everything, and I don't want to dwell on it too much, but When he's down there and they're sending him through the ringer of his own shit, basically. Wake up, Tony. Today is evaluation day.
Yeah.
Value. Do you have any? No. Because you're a loser. A loser with a skinny wiener.
Yeah, I love that.
Isn't that a reference to earlier in the movie?
Yeah, he's like, did you say skinny wieners?
I laughed. I lolled at that one.
Oh, yeah. Lolled. Sure, yeah. Lolled real
got
hard.
Got
LMFAO. Oh, great band. But my favorite line when he is imprisoned and he's going through, and Nicholas is the guard.
Mm-hmm. Nicholas.
You've been a good guard, Nicholas. Strong. Fair. He's like, I'd like to reward you. He's like, he gives him the, oops. Butterfingers, and he fixes it. He grabs Nicholas and he says, "Well, well, well, looks like London Bridge is falling down."
It's so stupid.
It's so dumb. It's the only like English reference
that's all they know.
Pretty sure London's in Britain.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. It's just one of my favorite things when he escapes and he's at the top of that and he's like breaking glass and walking on it. And the man is just a monster now.
He's watching the breakdown of it in his introduction, like while he's there, just like,
yes.
Good brilliant.
I have to say the villain was a bit over the top.
And then we get Jeffrey Tambor, yeah, who's probably never thrown a punch in his life, yeah, and, like, throwing two of them and, yeah, just looking like, oh, yeah, I just beat the shit out of him.
Tough guy.
Kind of waves his hand like, oh, that hurt.
Yeah.
Wife goes, I love you.
You are through here.
You are through here.
You're wrong.
I forgot to mention earlier, but, like, as star-studded cast and crew as this is, there's also another guy who had a weird cameo, Peter Berg. He was the cafeteria guy, or
yeah,
one of the
cooks.
He's a huge filmmaker now, like made like Battleship and he's been in a lot of movies as an actor too, but he's a huge director now. So another guy, just an alumni of this movie.
There
so.
You go.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
How did you guys feel about the campfire at the end? Or when they're getting ready and everything, or they have their party, their gift, the bonfire,
just a sweets rager.
Pat's getting laid, and they're getting laid by food.
Yes.
So like, what would you have wanted out of that smorgasbord?
Like any food that you can get, kind of a thing.
Yeah. What would have been on your list? I guess, and it could be anything. It doesn't have to be fast food. Even just say one thing that you're just like, oh yeah, like I've been starved by this guy. No lunch, no dinner, no breakfast. How's that suit you?
Spaghetti and s'mores.
Okay.
Like together.
Cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Give me a burger. Okay.
Yeah.
Spaghetti and s'mores, man. What about you?
I think that the pizza looked great, but that sub.
The big giant three-foot
massive sub that he's walking around with. I'm just like, I want to know how much of that I can eat.
Just carbs.
Yeah, just carbo
meat. All the carbs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I worked at Subway in high school, and those were, you'd get a party sub order, and you're like, God damn it. Do you know how hard this is to make?
Dude, we ordered a pizza in Vegas that was larger than like most people laying in a ball. And it couldn't fit through the door. It got delivered in a Chevy Cruze. And like that pizza literally weighed probably like close to 30 pounds.
The guy had to go up 9 floors.
He had to go up 9 floors to bring it to us. That's like the party pizza you get ordered to that body.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a $2 tip. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Party cut has to be.
Everyone who's bringing that food in is so pissed that they have to cook it all. the s'more stuff and like the cherries and like the syrup and that all grossed me out though.
Yeah, same.
I was grossed out by that.
Did you think Lars was gonna get eaten by a bear?
No.
The first time you watched it, I did. I'm like, oh my god.
By the way, guy got bought again. Hey Lars, we're in charge now. And you're just like, it's like you've been flip flopping this whole time, bro.
Help me.
He's like the ringleader of this whole thing. Like he's going to end up owning this. That's just probably his goal. He's going to end up owning this.
I think so, man. I think so.
Think about it.
Bears love honey. Just painting his chest with honey. It's such a funny scene. I don't know why. It's gross.
Honey, and it's right on the patch of hair that he has on his chest there. Gross, dude.
It's so rough, man. I don't like it. So, anyway.
I don't like it. Well, what do you say we finish this up here?
Let's finish her off.
So, under Pat's leadership, the campers restore their favorite activities and prepare to face Camp MVP in their annual competition. Camp MVP takes the lead in the first event, but Camp Hope catches up, and Jerry wins in the final go-kart race to give victory to Camp Hope. As Camp Hope celebrates their victory, Jerry thanks Pat for the best summer of his life.
Yes, absolutely.
This for me as a kid, I specifically remember this being awesome because you're like, oh, this is so cool. It's a relay race. And wouldn't it be awesome to be in this? As an adult, I was just like, I'm ready for this movie to be over.
Yeah, I kind of am too. Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
We know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just get it over with.
Rarely when I rewatch these movies do I check like how much time we have. And after Steeler was gone, I'm like, oh, it's still going. Okay, so and I pause and I'm like, okay, only like 15 minutes. Okay, that's fine.
You need your Disney redemption.
Yeah,
like, you have to have it, man.
Yes, there was the redemption of like they took back the camp and everything, and now Pat's in charge, and that's all good and great. But that's not like a wholesome family redemption.
Yeah,
you've got to make good people out of these young kids.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And they literally just had a man in prison for a week.
Yeah,
let's say.
Yeah, you know, they could only just all go to prison or juvenile detention for however long.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're right. I think like I was like, oh yeah, cool. The movie's like I said, every time I watch it, I think the movie's done at that point, and then it's not.
Yeah.
So
and then you have, by the way, Jerry. Earlier in the movie, says, I've always wanted to drive one. I've never been able to drive one.
Mm-hmm.
He's never driven one. And then they're like, here, go 80 miles an hour on this.
You're the
and
guy
win the
for
race.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So have fun with it.
Remember, have fun.
Yeah, yeah. Just have fun. That's all we care about. We don't need to win at the end of this Disney movie. We just need to have fun.
And one of the MVP dudes say as like the art portion, they was looking at the Mona Lisa.
Cher.
Yeah, Cher. God damn, dude. Like
name
I don't
five vice presidents.
I don't
Cher.
Know. I don't know how I know what that painting is. Like I've never studied art in particular, but I know that everyone knows that's Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
Right?
Is that what it was? I don't remember. I don't think I even cared at that point. Yeah. I was kind of like, what? I don't know what painting.
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
There are some funny moments in the race.
Of course.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you got Cody, and he starts off in the sack race, and he's just
terrible.
Just cannot get it done.
That was frustrating.
it's like you got to be shitting me, dude. Like, come on.
All right, now you're just meaning to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, like, sack of shit.
I get it.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
And then the kid who, like, gets up to kick the soccer balls, and he just finally gets there.
Oh, man.
And he just whiffs it in the first one. Thank God we've got Keenan, though, throwing the football. Do you think that, like, ringer happened, like, on the first
Ooh,
shot or
yeah.
something? You know
yeah.
what I mean?
I don't know. That's cool, though.
It was a cool shot.
Yeah, they probably, like, did three or four, and then they had that one. Like, we can't
That's
get any
the
better
one.
Than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do we think he actually threw it?
I think so.
I don't know. So.
You think it was a cutaway?
I don't know.
It was a fast cut.
As we're learning in some of these movies, like Dazed and Confused, man. Like,
it's true.
No, he didn't throw that ball.
You're right.
Very okay. true. So we get to the go-kart race, and we do have that fucking awesome shot of him, like, lapping him, but on top of him. It is a cool-ass shot, and I don't know how they did. I mean, I guess they actually did it, because it looks real.
I don't know how else you would do it.
Okay, yeah. but okay. What is the boost on this? On this go kart, yeah. it's a boat. They just
it
like
did.
A boat
it was like
fan.
A boat.
There's no the propulsion. You know you need like the fan boat like
yeah.
equivalent to push this thing like that. Like there's no way. But I did like that it was like the stolen engine from Camp MVP.
Yeah,
yeah.
I actually did
not know that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That itself is redemption.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They stole the engine from the boat and put it on there.
Yeah. They put all the pieces into that. That
hashtag okay. engine yeah. redemption.
That's right. engine redemption. yeah, dude.
That's it.
Did you know there was a post credit scene?
Yes.
As a kid, though?
No, not as a kid. But
never knew it as a kid. Yeah. Did you watch it?
Well, first of all, did you like the original song that the cast all sang?
Camp Hope.
I think they were hoping that was going to catch on yeah. and be like a thing that everybody sings, and it didn't catch on.
I wonder who wrote that, because it was mostly Paul Feig and featured in there. So yeah, I don't know. So on the post credit scene is Tony Perkins selling what now?
It's healing crystals, and it's a very short scene. It's just it's him dressed up just trying to sell healing crystals, and the door gets slammed in his face.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking.
I know what you're thinking. All right, well, what do you say? You got anything else before we rate it?
No, sir.
All right.
That's it.
We've done it. We've given you all the information. We told you what we thought as kids. We told you what the critics thought. We dissected it scene by scene as adults with a critical eye. So now we like to tell you what our modern day rating is. So, AJ, I mean, this is your pick along with our Patreon members. Yeah. What do you think, man?
Patreon, thank you for giving us this suggestion, by the way, and feeding it to us. I love this movie so much. I do still love it today. I think I liked it more as a kid, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I think I had more fun with it as a kid and identified with it, you know? Like, I thought it was just there were just a lot of moments that were really laugh out loud funny. But again, like we said earlier, there's just gets to be a point where you start to realize, like, yeah, but like I'm losing it about two thirds of the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Like I kind of know what's going to happen, and I kind of know where this is going. And then once Stiller is done with it, it's like, you know, I can be done with this movie now. So, but I did watch it every time. I watched it all the way through every time. So, but if I was going to say that, I think I've gone from an 8 to a 7.
So not too far down.
No.
It still ranks up there for you?
Absolutely. It's still a fun movie. And when people are like, dude, we should watch Heavyweights, I'm like, yes, we absolutely should.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I know that this is going to be a movie that by, again, like two-thirds of the way through, people are going to start talking over it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Good point.
There it
That's
is.
A good point.
What about you, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel the same way. It's like once Stiller leaves, it overstays its welcome by two-thirds of the way through. And it's just like, it's doing the run-of-the-mill kids thing. You know, I wish Stiller was back. I will say that there are some moments in this movie where, like, if I could just have, like, a super cut of, like, those moments, I would watch it all the time, totally. You know. But I'll watch it all the way through just for, like, a movie night with people. I'll watch it, like, again. I'll watch it like in 10 years or something like that and be like, yeah, that's, I remember it. It's fun. Yeah. It's a good movie. You
remember
know?
When we had a podcast?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. We're still doing it. man, it's super fun. And all the flaws and everything like that, I just kind of wash over me and it's just kind of fine. It's never really boring and anything like that, but I'm going to give it a 6.8.
Okay.
6.8 for Sean. Well, I did really love this movie as a kid. I was actually an 8.5. I was above you guys. But in thinking back on it, I agree with all your points. It was just okay. Take Ben Stiller out of the movie, it's just like, ugh, I don't know what this is. So I do like those other summer camp movies better than this one. And so for that reason, I'm down to like a 4.5.
Wow. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. It's like, it's still better than Blank Check and still better than Three Ninjas for me, but I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it again over all the other movies we have here. So in fact, I'd rather go watch Camp Nowhere again and see. I don't know if that's popular enough. I mean, let us know on Facebook and all that. If Camp Nowhere is popular enough, might just have to be something I'm talking on the Patreon episode here. But, I think that's about it. Huh?
I think you're right. It's like, give me the supercut of all the best moments, and I'll watch that a million times.
Yeah.
So, Josh, how do you like the food here? Wait till I finish the question.
Dude, I want to watch the movie right now just for the scene.
Just for those.
Just for the fucking step on the scale.
Skip.
It's like so perfect, dude.
You gained 9 pounds.
I lost it.
So thank you, Ben Stiller, for saving this movie. We hope you all enjoyed the episode. As of the recording in early July 2021, like we told you, it's available for free with Disney Plus subscription. Tune in next Wednesday as we continue with the movie reviews. Oscar award-winning Brendan Fraser performance, you guys.
Whoa.
Encino Man.
Yeah, man.
And then we're following up that with another Patreon pick, very high on the Patreon list, Jurassic Pork.
Oh. Got to.
Park.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Hell yeah, dog.
So, AJ, how can everybody find us on our way out of here, huh?
You know where you got to find us.
Tomato meter.
Wait, no.
I am.
No, guys.
Fucking idiots.
You guys already know where to find us because you're listening to us right now. But the problem is that your friends don't know where to find us.
There
and
you
that's
go.
What you got to share with everyone. Share with your friends. Tell them where to find us, where you listen to us at. That's got to be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, Pocket Podcast, all the weird ones out there, all the small ones, all the big ones. We're on them, okay? I believe we're even on Google Podcasts now.
See, you can find us.
Crazy. Make sure you are following along on Facebook. Join in on any conversations on the posts that we're having there. Facebook.com/ConfusedBreakfast. Instagram @ConfusedBreakfast, TikTok @ConfusedBreakfast, Twitter @ConfusedBeFast. And guys, make sure you're hitting us up on Patreon. We've got some goals set. We've got some new merch out. We've got some awesome perks on there that you guys can help support us because it does take a lot of effort for us to put all this stuff together. A lot of time is spent to create this. And if there's one great way that you can help support us to continue to give you great content and more great content, that's the way to do it.
You can't picture your life without us at this point.
Yeah.
So you might as well ensure our success moving forward.
Yeah. It really helps us out.
Wow. Thank
you.
I just want to say, and don't forget the voicemails.
And don't you dare
319-804.
95-96.
That's why. And again, when we start hitting a certain point, we're going to start throwing video. You want to watch us do these podcasts. That's one of the best things about it.
I can't wait till we're on YouTube.
God, because that moment right there would have been really awesome.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, well, we're going to get out of here. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends.
Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.